Hello and welcome to the Field Talk podcast from the Linder Farm Network, the voice of Minnesota agriculture. I'm your host, Dan Lemke. Farmers and pork industry representatives gathered in Mankato for the annual Pork Congress this week, and one of the industry leaders in attendance was Bill Even, CEO of the National Pork Board. He talked with us about the role of the pork checkoff and some of the exciting things on the horizon for the pork industry.
Yeah, so the Pork Checkoff, also known as the National Pork Board, is actually 40 years old here in 2025. It was started in 1985. The pork producers around the country got together and said, we want to establish a national checkoff to improve our industry. And so the producers passed a federal law to drive research, promotion, and education for the pork industry. And we've been doing that for the past 40 years.
So essentially, like most checkoffs, they're paying money and hoping that you're going to make them more money.
Yeah, the idea behind it is the industry is looking to get bigger and professionalize. You got to do something that you're going to promote your product. We only make one thing, right? We often think of that as, well, we're making a pig. Well, that is true, but that is totally dependent on the fact that somebody somewhere is going to eat a pork chop or have a ham or have some carnitas, right? And so the pork board's role is to really help the producers on the demand side. And that's both domestically as well as internationally. So, for example, 2024 is setting an all-time record for U.S. pork exports, exporting over 30% of our national production. So that's an example of some of the work that the pork board is involved in on the promotion side.
And you mentioned 2024. I mean, there had been a few years where obviously the pork industry had some headwinds. I guess, how would you assess, you know, looking backwards, first of all, how would you assess 2024?
Well, that's no kidding, right? For about 2 years, the pork industry suffered some of the worst financial losses in history. And we were sitting in this conversation, say, a year ago in February of 2024. Things looked pretty bleak. And even in the summer, last summer, things were like, man, when is this going to turn around? And we were really pleasantly surprised by the time we rolled into fall. We had the pork cut out in October, over $100. That happened twice. I think that's maybe never even happened before in history. That's why we got October Pork Month, right? It was designed to help move product in the fall. So looking at the markets here, even just in yesterday, we've got the cutout pushing back pretty close to $100 again here in February. So while it's going to take a long time for producers to fill in that equity hole, the good news is that we've had some opportunities here, I would say, in the past 6 months to maybe lock in a little bit of profit and provide some optimism.
Now, as you look towards 2025, you mentioned some of those, you know, economic signals are looking a little stronger. How about demand, both, you know, domestically and overseas? Is pork a product that folks are still clamoring for?
Yeah, and you're seeing that in the price of the cutout, right? If you didn't have the cutout going up, that tells you there's demand, both domestically as well as internationally. So we've seen strong movement across all the product categories, excuse me, including particularly in Mexico. Mexico's our number one export destination right now, and so we're keenly aware of how important the Mexico market is. In addition to that, you know, up here in Minnesota in the upper Midwest, we do get a lot of feeder pigs and isoweans come down out of Canada. So that North American trade relationship we have is really important to the pork industry.
And then as far as like pork production, I mean, I know, you know, for the industry, sustainability is a big thing that you can promote. Is that something that plays well and that consumers, again, both domestically and overseas, that's something important to them?
I think how we think about the term sustainability is really around our We Care ethical principles. And for a producer out there, and in our farm in South Dakota as an example, efficiency and productivity is what you need to do in order to stay in business and farming. And the pork industry is the same way. And so a lot of what we do at the Pork Board is, how do we gather that information, that good work that pork producers are already doing, and bundle that factually into a story that we can tell the consuming public. And so at the end of the day, this is about giving producers the credit that's due for the work that they're already doing. That's how we think about sustainability.
And then obviously pork farmers, pork producers pay into the checkoff, but how important is what they get back from that? I mean, how much value is there in the support that they provide?
So our board of directors is made up of 15 producers, and that's by law. And it has to represent at least 12 different states around the United States. So we're consumer-focused but producer-led. I think that's important for everybody to remember. There is a board of your fellow pork producers that are making the decisions for the organization. So from that, we have a return on investment work that we do across the different platforms. Not only do promotion, we have veterinarians on staff that work a lot to help prevent foreign animal diseases like ASF, and we're working right now with industry on what we're going to do about PED and PRRS and these endemic diseases that are really harming a large part of our production system. Along with that, I mentioned domestic and international, we also have 42 state pork associations, and we work very closely with them, like Minnesota Pork, in providing funding so they can get the boots on the ground and do the work locally that helps people in their counties or their states.
And I understand that coming up here maybe in the next few weeks at your Pork Industry Forum that maybe a new marketing effort, some new messaging will be rolled out there. Tell me what you can about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag here prematurely, but for those Pork Act delegates that are coming to our annual business meeting here in the second week of March, we're going to do a soft launch of the largest new pork consumer marketing campaign since the days of Pork the Other White Meat back in the 1980s. We're really excited about where this is going to go and really emphasizing pork's taste and flavor and its unique ability to not only make you crave wanting to eat the product, but also understand the value proposition as that as well. And we're going to do our national nationwide launch looking in May of this year before grilling season.
Dr. David Newman is Vice President of Market Growth for the National Pork Board. He and his team work to build demand for pork in the U.S. and abroad.
Let's lay the land out here and say the last few years have been pretty challenging for our producers, so it's great to see some wind at our back. One of the things that we know for sure is that we've really got to put a strong focus on domestic pork demand, and that means we've really got to understand who is that future consumer of pork in the United States, what are their characteristics, and how can we better position pork for that consumer. So whether it's fresh or processed, whether it is the growing multicultural audience in this country, there's a lot of focus that we have really put a big emphasis on over this last 12 to 18 months. So this domestic market demand is a big push for the National Pork Board moving forward.
So with that kind of consumer study, I guess, what have you taken away from that, and how is that going to perhaps provide some marching orders, so to speak, or some ideas going forward?
Right. Well, so one of the things you talk about a study is we did a large-scale consumer segmentation project over the past year and a half. And really what that does is not unlike any company who's trying to market something, right? It's what do we know about our consumer? What can we learn about our consumer to better position our product? In our case, it's the only product we make. We make pork. At the end of the day, if a consumer doesn't go into a retail store and buy it, take it home and cook it and eat it, or go to a restaurant and buy it and eat it, and like it enough to repeat the process tomorrow, none of us are in business. So it doesn't matter if you're selling feed or you're selling supplies or you're selling genetics. We've got to rely on that consumer to carry us forward. So the segmentation really took a deep dive of saying, what are those priority segments of consumers that we need to focus on? And how do we then reposition pork as a brand to actually go after them? So we're launching an entirely new consumer-facing brand campaign in 2025, actually here in about 3 weeks at our National Pork Industry Forum. And it's going to be exciting to be able to showcase that for our producers.
And then let's talk exports. As you were mentioning, a lot of the pork ends up in other places, and justifiably so. I guess tell me a little bit about the market opportunities overseas and how those are shaping up.
Well, exports have continued to be a shining star for us. So 30% of our total production, we move beyond the borders of this country. So that's very, very important for us to consider. 24 trade data says we again had an exceptionally good year for both volume and value. That's really important to us. A great example of that is seeing how the market in Mexico has really shaped up well for us. You know, this has gone from being a value-driven market where we pushed a lot of hams to today an added value market to where we're also celebrating large movements of items like loin. into the market. So that's one of the things that we do around the world is we've got markets that focus key on byproducts and offals, but we also have some mature markets like Japan, South Korea as an example, where we can celebrate the growth of pork and we can differentiate ourselves against our competitors. So that's going to be very important as we move forward because there is a lot of global competition that we celebrate and differentiate U.S. pork above all other countries.
I grew up on a hog farm, and I remember when we'd process it, my dad would say, use everything but the squeal. And that's pretty much what you folks do, find a market for just about everything.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's something that's really a fascinating side of the business, is this offal byproduct business. And we truly do market everything but the squeal. So if you think about, especially Asia, think about the Chinese market, which has been huge for this business for decades, that's changing today, but it's been very important. That market is critically important for offals. And if we don't find a home for those offal items, think about things literally like intestines and lungs and kidneys. That stuff is really important to the marketplace. That drives producer profitability in this country. Our ability to find a home in the Philippines for U.S. pig hearts has an impact on a producer here in Minnesota. And so that is a huge part of what we do.
And how do you, you know, at events like this, get that message back to producers? I mean, obviously, you've got farmers here, they're check-off paying, and this is what supports the work that you do because the work you do supports them in turn.
That's right. Well, we educate. And that's literally part of the act and order that the National Pork Board operates under is promotion, research, and education. So for me, I think it's just important that we go back to our producer investors, a.k.a. my boss, my bosses, and we tell them, here's what we're doing to strategically invest your money to make you more money. So we can't ever tell the story too much. And I think that as a producer myself, growing up in this business, that was always important to me. So I take that very seriously to say it's our responsibility to tell our producers about how their investment gets leveraged, whether that is in Vietnam, Mexico, or right here in the U.S.
And I know one of the other presentations this morning was dealing with looking at what Brazil has. I mean, we're certainly, you know, in an area of corn and soybean production where those folks are very familiar with the competition that Brazil presents. I guess, how do you look at Brazil from a pork production? Is that an opportunity? Is it a competitor? Or how does that fit in the grand scheme?
Yeah, so it's a great question. And this morning I talked to the audience here at Minnesota Pork about Brazil as a competitor moving forward. And to really summarize this is to say that Brazil is a serious global competitor in the pork business. The same way they're a serious global competitor in poultry and beef, they're still an emerging market. But as you pointed out a moment ago, they have an almost unlimited access to feed supply. And we know that that's a huge component of our profitability factor here. So cost of production is very low. As Brazil starts to improve their economy, they start to improve their infrastructure, and they get more access to more markets around the world, they're going to be a very important country to watch, because being a least cost producer means that you can differentiate on price. And there are some of these less mature markets, the Philippines would be a great example of that, where price is really the driving force behind getting the sale. So it's important to us that we make sure that we're displaying our competitive edge on quality, on availability, on providing the safest food supply in the world. And it's really about understanding that you need to know who your competitors are. So taking a deep dive and an analysis on them is just good business.
Thanks for listening. Find other podcasts at linderfarmnetwork.com or on Apple and Spotify, and get the latest in farm news, weather, and market analysis daily from your local LFN affiliate.